Tell me about when you started school.
When I started school, I was 6 years old. We had an old buggy horse, a black one. His name was Coley. Mama says, "How's the hitch up Coley?" He said, "He's got to go to school." "To school?" "Yep." He said, "To your dad, at your house." When he lives down there in Bakersfield. He said, "Who's the kid by the Army Johnson?" He said, "Only teach, and all these teach, the Tennessee's and Mary and Claire and the whole thing."
Was that a Catholic school or a public school?
No, public school. Alumber Bay. Made out of the walls were long by 12 and no ceiling in it. And between the boards, you could have cracked in it, you could see fires with a beefy cup. And one must be magically sweet, I know. And now, we went down to the top with the horse, and Mama said, "I already talked with the hoop. You come home with the hoop, you can see." Then we walked him back home 4.5 miles. And anyhow, when she rolled me, she said, "Well, come home with the hoop, you can see." The hoop could be about, still a lot bigger than me. Not all of them, but most of them. In the evening, when I come home, the schoolmaster came in. I lit my cheek, smoked, and I read first week, a sermon. And Mama says, "Well, how was school?" I said, "Mama, I don't have to go to that place because I don't understand that, man. The only language that he tells is Spanish and I think. I don't know what he's talking about. He said, "That's just to go to school, go to learn." So I was with that. But the next day I went back. I had my lunch packet, my own getting to the hoops, and we got to the park. And at that time, there was a very famous trade hall. His contract calling to Columbus said he flows to things here. He's all the guys driving them wagons. And he'd like his friend. And then driving with coffee hay. But the long Columbus on run, so the coffee should belong to them. And they had that long piece along the lane between the hounds and the wagons.
There were
no head on them, just the wheels and the axe. And we ride the hopping poles in that and hopping poles talk about this floor behind. We ride these things like driving on the bus. Down the road so we fell off again. And then I told Mama, "You have to go there." The one day, next day I went to school and was about to roll on the flat foot. This is from 120 and ABC. And heard the teller was sitting right next to me. And heard the teller was about 2 months younger than I am. He talked about it not too long ago when he was eating. And when he stepped away from me, he said something in English that I don't know what he said. He said, "I heard the blue little thing." Because he started on a grocery store because he was around there a lot. And when he said, "What did he say?" He said, "He could drive better than his slave." He had no pain to the slave. Rolled him like a fish. I rode on all the best they knew how and rode. Rode on. Rode on. Master to come by. Didn't say much. So, It must be going to the school, very allowing you to start the Spanish and like this.
Well, how long did it take you to master English then?
Not too long. Yeah. I'd say about maybe 2-3 months.
Mm-hmm.
I told you that.
That's fast.
Yeah.
And you said, I got to ask you this, you said you took your lunch bucket. What does your lunch bucket look like?
A half a gallon cereal cup, the cereal cereal cup.
Okay.
With holes in the cup.
All right. And what kind of lunch did Mother talk to you?
Father and molasses, milk, salt, and a piece of sausage, they were fried eggs. And then the time a piece of sausage. And a Friday.
Homemade bread, Papa?
Homemade bread. Yeah, there's no other bread.
No fruit or anything like
that? Oh, no. No, only we got fruit. No other kind.
I see, okay.
And that big kind of the God you stole from the Lord. That peppermint and lemon.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you mind, once in a while, jealousy. That's all the kind of you
have. You mentioned the flumes a while ago, and I'm assuming that you're talking about the canal flumes from which are part of the Medina Lake system.
That's just the irrigation company out here, yeah.
All right. Can you tell me anything about the building of the dam at Medina Lake?
I can't tell you too much. I was up there with my dad when they worked on it, but I was too young to. I've seen things for us, but.
Mm-hmm.
Hoist down there with a table and the wheels on it and hook and they got to the place. So there was a rope hanging down and the guys down there worked down there when they looked in the place where they watered it. They pulled the rope and then the thing opened up and the slung the fell down where they went. Well, they didn't fall too high by this time when it fell down.
About 4 or 5 feet?
Yeah, and then the thing went back up and struck against that machine where that roller was on, that rolled it along that table, and then just pulled it back again with the engine. It's all wrong by the state marriage.
Did you know anybody that worked for them?
No, I don't know.
Did your dad
work? My dad, all he done is all the material at the lumber. Like strip wrap and stuff to use to make some thorns for the wall.
Who would where did he get the where did he pick the lumber up?
At La Costa. The hall is the shift is by there to La Costa and there's where the lumber hall is loaded to there and all the rest of it. And they went the three of Medina Road and by Harry Page through that.
Mm-hmm. And that's the old Red Ring Road.
The old Red no. Yeah, the old by the river, yeah.
Yeah, by Bean Shop.
Yeah, that old
across the river.
Mm-hmm, by the little dandy. That's the opposite of that. That's the idea.
You mentioned that black, either there were usually black men or colored men, Negroes, that were driving some of these teams.
A lot of them.
How did you feel about that? What impression did that make on you as a kid?
That didn't make no impression on me.
None at all.
There was a comic drivers that had names for every mule on the place.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked to him, you sweet thing, you shouldn't have done that. Now, I'm going to get mad at you. Mm-hmm. You know what happens when I get mad? That line's going to pop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they hit him with a line, and every time they hit him, the ass line. And this helped to me, that's the substitute, comedy.
So this didn't impress the color of their skin or anything?
No, no.
That's interesting. I think I understand a long time ago, but when you were a kid, possibly, there used to be old people who sat in front of the Hans meat market and talked and...
They talked there and liked each other and all kinds of things happened there.
So, can you tell me who some of these people were, maybe? Do you remember who they might have been?
Well, Andrew Abbott, the real king of the bunch, he said that every morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then, old man all the steelheart, and the pasty steelheart, and then the young guys, all the steelheart, and every bit, all the debauchees, and every gender.
Well, when a stranger came to town, what was the attitude of the people? You know, someone that they didn't know at all.
Wonder what thou hast built for high, wonder what thou art, wonder what the honey says that thou art living. Clamber, as you call it, wonder what this clamber was coming to.
So,
wonder where he wants to go.
They usually weren't very receptive to strange people didn't know.
When a strange man come here, they feel that is. They wonder where he come from and where he's going.
Wonder why they were so suspicious of strange people. Do you have any idea?
I have no idea. Well, I tell you what I believe. I believe one thing is because most of the people get never less testy when they see somebody strange. They say, if you don't live here, wonder where he's coming from. I guess that's the only reason.
And wonder what he's up to.
Huh? Yeah, wonder what he's up
to. Suspicious.
Suspicious, yeah. Detective type.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned poor Aunt Store a while ago when you were talking about having put your money there, that they were like a bank. How many stores were there at that time in town?
Well, there was Poole and Company, L.M. Tongs and John, Holland Mangold, and Joe Shop, and others.
Four stores. How did they get their supplies to these stores at that time?
Well, Poole and they got their supplies from the car thing in Agra Hall, most of the stuff. And Honda, they had their own truck.
Mm-hmm.
They had an old Dodge truck that they went and they got all that stuff. And it's the truck from the car. They almost got it from the car.
Well, at any time did they ever have any trading bout with mules, teams of mules?
This was all mules, except Tommy was saying the guy that had a truck.
Oh. And the rest of them?
Poland had his trade hall and then the Nagalek hall in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And all the mangoes, they snarled and all that. There's the situation. From the house, too. And that was every week. Tommy had that truck, they hauled after their own truck.
Well, how did they get their, this is of course before bootleg times, how did they get the beer out for the dances and for their saloons and things? I understand there were a number of saloons in town, right?
Yeah, there were. Well, there was Smith Seahawks and there was the Wernick and there was it was found in my day. There was three saloons at one time here in my day.
Well, how did they?
And there was more than before my day. Because Pace had a saloon too.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, that was before my day.
Well, how did they get their.
They got their beer bottles from Utah. Great halls, great halls, Robert Deere halls, and great Jaggy Hall deals in San Antonio, with you, and old all of them, these halls here, somebody else.
John Bogle?
Like John Bogle worked with the great judge and he all that time. He worked with Fred that time. I always be in San Antonio when I worked for Robert Taylor. Living out there with Albert Mangley.
Friday? With you?
With mules, yeah. We'll go to San Antonio to the brewery and get a load of beer and bring it to Castleville. There and start it with the old house bang building.
Okay, well, all right. Now, how long did it take you to do that?
You go in there?
Yeah.
One day and come back to me. They all out in the little old room there at the brewery.
What brewery did you go to?
Early brewery. Well, that time it was City Brewery.
But it's the old Pearl Brewery.
Yeah.
How many mules did you have?
Both on the way. And when it rained, that time there was no gravel on this road. It was marked from San Antonio to Castle when it rained.
Mm-hmm.
And when it rained, got you the first pallet going out of San Antonio. Phoned out, bring two more mules.
Well, who would bring them to you?
Well, when I didn't go in with him, Spurdy, Robert's brother.
Rudolph.
And when Rudolph went with him, then I brought him. When he called. Well, if it didn't rain, he didn't do it. But if it rained, around there was Luna Myers and along and then flaps and then flew. Lost the species of that much.
Well, okay, you said you took them two mules. How did you take them out there? Did you walk behind them?
No. Grabbed a horse and lead them to them.
Put the horses on them
and lead them over there.
Okay. That's enough.
Load the horse.
How many barrels of beer would you bring on one load?
About 12 half barrels and about 4 casks of bottle beer. That time the bottle beer come in, it's all the casks and barrels.
Oh.
And each bottle had a cover over
it, mm-hmm.
Made out of a pasteboard.
Mm-hmm.
And the bottle just slipped in it like that, so they wouldn't break, and then they were sitting in this keg.
In a keg?
In a barrel.
A wooden barrel?
Yeah. Had shingles on it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's the way the bottle beer come. There were no boxes in them, in the cases.
No cases?
No cases.
Well, was there ice on it?
No, there was no ice on it. It was packed with the brewery left hand, mm-hmm. And the cars was loaded on the wagon, and there was no ice on it. Then you unload them here, then they put them in ice, open them and put them in ice box.
I see. Well, did they have a crown cap like they do now?
A crown cap like they do now.
Okay.
They had pearl beer, bitter beer, and chauffeur beer.
Mm-hmm. Would that possibly be spelled S-C-H-A-F-F-E-R?
I don't know.
Okay.
But anyhow, the bottle beer all comes in case.
Well, all right. Then you brought the half barrels and you brought the bottles. Did you bring ice, or did you ice any of it to bring it, or did you?
The keg beer was in wooden barrels.
Oh.
And the keg beer, each barrel that. The keg beer had about a 15-pound block of ice laying on top of the barrel in that hollow, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. In the hollow part.
Right on top.
Mm-hmm.
And after it was packed, draw on top, and then a wagon sheet over.
Oh, and that kept it cool all the way.
That kept it cool till you got to the place where they put it in the beer. And then they put it in the In their ice boxes, you know, at the saloon, they had ice boxes. Right?
Like walk-in place?
A walk-in place. They rolled them barrels in there, and they had their 100 blocks of ice in there, and they put some old ice on them, and that's the way they kept the cold.
Well, did you guys bring them the ice?
We bought the ice, yeah, on the wagon, too.
Well,
the eyes was loaded first in front.
Mm.
The beard in the back. And then the last that was loaded was the keg beer.
Mm-hmm.
The bottle beer then passed. I don't know how many barrels of bottles was in there,
mm-hmm.
but there were 50 gallon barrels. Mm-hmm. They call them cash.
Mm-hmm.
There was the bottle beer. First the ice, then the bottle beer, and then the cake beer in the back. 3, 4, maybe 5, 6 barrels of beer, and each one had a chunk of ice laying on it, and then straw glued on it. Oat straw, what kind of straw? Sometimes they had this prairie hay. Blew that on it and a sheet over it and that kept the water. Ass on it. Sometimes they still had eyes on when it got set.
So it took you a day to go and load up and then a day to come back?
A day to come in.
How often did you do this?
About twice a week.
And only one wagon went at a time, or were there more than one
wagon?
Well,
Robert Hall's for Thomas,
mm-hmm.
and Fred Jaggy Hall's for Werner and Green here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who Hall's for Bates, but three or four men all around Hall's for Bates. There was different ones all in here.
Arlo Ross, is that the Lawrence R? Is what
Lawrence R,
okay.
That's Johnny R, that's Johnny L. Static.
Okay.
They always claimed he was stuck one time in the maid yard here, and his wagon was stuck in a mud hole. And he had Lawrence, he had a boy's name was Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
And he told him to stick the stump on it that wheel, and he laid on it in the wagon and lifted the wagon up with his feet laying under it.
Ooh!
He said he stick the stump on it that wheel. I don't know if it was so or not, but that's what it was.
To put the stump under the
wheel. Under the wheel, under the mud hole.
Yeah, yeah.
So it wouldn't change the bar. Yeah. He pushed it up till he had the stump on it, and then he let it down again.
And on his feet?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And he started pushing up with his feet.
I've heard that you had a tenor here in Castroville who was quite good at his job. That was Billy Foos. Is this correct?
Billy was a good tenor, yeah.
Can you tell me about some of the things he made that he just actually made himself?
Well, I tell you what, he made some minnow bubbles for me. He was good.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a good man to put a roof on a house. That standard scene, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
Put by two, he was number one with that. These old houses, most of them around here, he put some old scene on them.
That's a name you don't hear very around here at all anymore. Where did he come from? Do you have any idea?
I don't know where he come from. They were German people.
Well, there were some Fooses at Hondo and Dunlop.
Yeah, but there's a different Foos, I think. I think they come from Germany here. He had a brother, his name was Louis Foos. He was a carman, and there was a tenor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard that name before. Did they marry?
They never did. Louis did. Louis was married. But I don't know. I don't know. I know where Louis Foos lived, but I don't know if he ever had any children. I mean, I don't know that either.
Well,
he was married, I know.
What are some of the other things he made, Lark? Did he make...
He made mostly anything. He made washtubs and pockets and all stuff like that. Sprinkling cans. All stuff like that in the future.
Gutters, maybe?
Gutters, and that standing thing on these houses, and blues, and these caps for these blues, and all stuff like that. And they used to have an old wooden stove here. It had a cast iron bottom, in a Kazakhstan top, and it was made open shape. And of course, I used to have one in my body shop years ago. And that just, and the sides were made out of that. Kings came out of that real heavy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that just burned out again. To take it to fill the booth, maybe last 4 or 5 years. And you put in a new wall around there, you can't get scratched to fill.
Is that right?
Three little holes in it, two holes in it. Stove pipes, you make all stove pipes around this town. Everybody had a stove, most people had some. You make stove pipes from.
So you had grocery stores, you had the beer brought in by freight, and you had the tinner who took care of all of those kinds of problems. What about the meat market? Can you describe or tell me a little bit about those?
We had, it hadn't had a meat market here as long as I'm, I remember that the old Hanson was. And he bought heavy on it. Then an old man shot married his mother and the Easter on it. And Robert Sherrod had a big market one time there, right between the Hermanson Hall and where the bank is now.
Oh, really?
In that lot there. Right where the man's barber shop used to be, that little shop right below it. And Glenn Burl and Johnny Taylor on a meat market in that place where Gene Goose got his, that old place there, mm-hmm. that old station, they were on a meat market in there for a long time. And then Johnny Taylor went to Rio Medina and started him a meat market up there, and Glenn Burl went over here where Dan is now, and he built that place, and there he stayed till sold out the tank.
Well, how did they go about butchering? Where did they get their meat from?
They went out here to these farms and bought some calves and butchered them right there and hung them on a tree right there. Harry Hanks and Old Man Burl and all these guys that butchered out here. They didn't have all these inspectors running around.
No packing houses.
No packing houses. They packed their own meat, brought it home, and all of them had ice boxes with ice in it. And they put that meat in there. They had just as good a meat as they had now, pal.
Tasted pretty good, didn't it?
All right.
How many times a week did they have to do this?
To kill?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it all depends. Sometimes twice. Sometimes they run short, 3 times to a selection.
Mm-hmm.
It all depends on the meat sold.
Did any of them have routes in the country?
Meat routes?
Uh-huh, meat routes.
Yeah, Frank Burl had one, Dan Burl, when he worked for his daddy. Before he bought him out, he had a meat route up the road here. Sold meat. All along the road.
What kind of a vehicle did they have?
A Model T with a little screen box in the back. And the stage for a red cart laying on trays in there.
And where did they go out?
The route went up to where Sam Haven home was.
Oh, they went out in the country to the farm?
To the farm.
Oh,
all the way up.
And they got, that's where the farm people got fresh
meat. Fresh meat, yeah.
Oh, fresh
they paddled it to
them. Paddled it to them, okay. You were working for your uncle?
Not uncle, he wasn't my uncle, he's the first cousin of my daddy.
Okay, first cousin.
Fritz Chill.
All right.
And then I hired out to him, $15 a month in my board.
Mm-hmm.
Went out there, started milking cows, 4 o'clock. Me and him and his wife. Polina was his wife's name.
Mm-hmm.
Good people. And I liked to work with it.
Good God, so was she, and the kids, there's all not good. And I got on that milk truck, and I went all about them Mathis, Youngman, Runemeyer, Grewald, Bloom, picked up milk. And on the way back, go by and take damages again by all these places, and load ice, and load meal, all kind of stuff like that.
You went to San Antonio?
With the creamery.
Yeah.
And at the creamery, I loaded the ice and the meal and the feed and the cattle that they ordered. Unloaded all of that and come home about 1 o'clock to eat. And then I hitched up the plow and plowed till 4 o'clock, and at 4 o'clock I went to the house again and started milking cows, sitting dark. Put the milk in the ice box. Went in and ate supper. Took a bath and went to bed. And one winter, it got so cold. And about 2 o'clock, Fritz come to my room. He says, "Howard, come here, I want to show you something." "Oh, they're baiting you." He says, "What's the matter?" "I want to show you something. Get up one." And no electric lights, coal or lamps. He lit the lamp. We had the lamp lit when I walked in there. And we had to lay them young ones in front of the fireplace because it was so cold on a mattress. We'd done that already before we went to bed. At 2 o'clock this evening, he was a little old fat boy. He started whining and grunting, and Fritz got up, flipped the light on. He was drunk. And he had 40 cats around that place, that very point. Young ones, big ones, old ones, all tired. One of them little ones got in the house, I guess one of the kids left the door open, and he got in there. And that little booger sat on that kid's face like that, and he was talking on his nose. And I read already that a kitten can take the breath away from you.
Mm-hmm.
I read that already. And he was talking in his nose, and this lady was whining about this cat away. And Fred showed me that. I said, "I never seen this before." And outside of the door, where you go out of the front door, it was a big yellow rock about this big for a doorstep. And he opened the door and he threw the cat.